So firstly, what is the aim of the WILD project?
Well, the project itself is looking at two moon missions. One would be an orbiter mission, which does remote sensing, and the other is a lander, which goes down to the surface and samples. So what we're looking at here is it possible to extract water from the moon, take the frozen from the ice, which is in the permanently shadowed craters, and turn that into water that we can use for various things.
Mm.
So it's all focused on doing that in a commercial way.
We've uncovered water on the red planet Mars previously. What would be the implications of discovering water on the moon?
There's a fair bit of water on the moon. Different surveys have shown between hundreds and thousands of millions of tons of water. So if you were able to extract that water, you could use it for settlements. You know, the US has their Project Artemis, where they're looking to put people on the moon by 2024, and settlements will need water for various things, not just for consumption, but if there was to be any gardening there or any chemical processes, or lots of chemical processes use water. Another thing that we're looking at is taking that water, turning it into hydrogen and oxygen, and you can use it for rocket fuel.
Mm.
And that's of interest to the US because their moon station is a stepping stone to Mars. They've realized that the most efficient way to get to Mars in the medium term is to go to the moon in the short term.
So one of these habitats could be theoretically self-sustaining.
That's probably unlikely for quite a while, but the idea, there's a concept called in-situ resource utilization, ISRU, and that's trying to use as much of the local resources as you can, so you don't have to carry it from Earth. At the moment, if you wanted to deliver something to the moon, it would cost you $1.2 million per kilogram to land something. And if you want to deliver something into space, even to low Earth orbit, costs you about $10,000 or $20,000 per kilogram. So if you can produce something in space for less than those costs, then you're ahead. You start to be able to get a business case together.
Mm. Well, it's certainly a fair chunk of change. In terms of the stepping stone theory between the moon from Mars, would you mind expanding to us a little bit more how that one would work?
There's been a fair number of studies about, and this goes back 5 or 10 years, about how you might go about delivering things to the moon. So doing logistics, you know, so you deliver this to there, and you harvest this from there, and so on. And the realization was that if you were able to deliver, say, smaller things into space, you might construct them either on the moon or in lunar orbit, then you put them all together and then push on to Mars. And that ends up being the least costly way of delivering a lot of stuff to Mars. You send up multiple rockets into space, and then once you're in space, it's easier to move larger things around.
Now, as I mentioned, we've seen this week Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison sort of pledging $150 million to the United States-owned Mars mission, and Morrison has had some fairly positive things to say about, you know, the final frontier. In terms of the Australian space industry and the kind of research, the kind of work that's going on here, how are we actually placed to take part in some of this exploration?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. The space industry in Australia, we don't have any homegrown large space prime companies, but most of the big international companies do have offices here. But the important difference with the way the Australian space industry is now to even 5 years ago, we set up a little company called Delta V in 2012 to boost space startups in Australia, to help develop. At the time, there were 2 startups in Australia. Now there's about 150. And they're coming together in the areas of spaceports, launch, satellite components, satellite builders, satellite integrators, operations on the ground. The whole ecosystem, or the whole economy, the space economy, is sort of developing in parallel with each other, and there's a great enthusiasm in Australia at the moment for space.
Well, I think say what you will in terms of the funding this week, but I think it is an exciting time for this kind of exploration. Andrew, thank you very much. Do appreciate your time.
Great.
That was Professor Andrew Dempster from the Australian Centre for Space Engineering Research, having a bit of a chat with us about, habitats on the moon. I didn't realise they'd actually found tons and tons of water there previously, but looking at extracting that water, putting it to use, and stepping stone towards Mars indeed.